Winging It.
We're your hosts, Michelle,
Amanda,
and Alex. On today's episode, it's all about the hum of the hummingbird.
Today, we have Susan Campbell joining us, a resident hummingbird expert of North Carolina.
Did you guys hear that?
Yeah. What was that noise?
That was a hummingbird flying by.
Alex, how do you know that?
My mom and I love hummingbirds. When I was younger, we used to sit out back, set up the bird feeders, and watch them collect nectar. Do y'all know anything about hummingbirds? They are quite interesting.
You know, now that you mention it, yeah. I took zoology 2 semesters ago, and we learned that hummingbirds are the only birds that can fly backwards.
That's actually because they have a ball and socket joint that allows their wings to rotate 180 degrees. Let's hear Susan Campbell explain it.
It is hovering, allows their wings to move in more of a figure eight shape and not just a steady up and down flapping motion. That maneuverability of the joint to move in all directions, you know, that is the key that allows them to do the hovering. It's not so much the wing shape or the feathers, but the attachment of the wing to the torso of a bird that makes that possible.
So as Susan Campbell explained it, they not only fly backwards, but they can also hover and move their wings in a figure eight pattern. This allows them to generate lift on both upstroke and downstroke.
Hey Amanda, can you explain what upstroke and downstroke are?
Well, downstroke is when the wings of the bird move downwards, pushing air down as well. This helps lift the bird up into the air and can be thought of as the power push. Upstroke is the opposite. It's when the wings move back up. For most species of birds, this is when they reset their wings. However, hummingbirds are different. They tilt and flip their wings using that ball and socket joint so they still push air and get lift. This continuous motion allows them to hover, which is necessary for their diet. They get nectar from flowers, which don't normally have a place to land, making this adaptation highly useful.
A hummingbird's wing shape also depends on its age and whether it's male or female. It completely changes how they fly. I was reading an article that said adult male hummingbirds have shorter, narrow wings compared to female and young birds.
Interestingly enough, young males actually have larger wings, just like the females. Because their wings are bigger, it takes less effort to lift their body weight. This means they don't have to work as hard, making their flight a lot easier and a lot more energy efficient. Here's what Susan Campbell has to say about it.
Males, that there is a difference in wing shape. But we've known for a very long time that, aside from that, that certain wing feathers have grown, become different sizes and different shapes in order to create sounds during territorial defense and also during courtship. We've known this for a long time. So there are hummingbirds that make unique sounds by virtue of their wing whir. But also it does make sense that they have different shaped wings, males versus females, because what they spend their time doing, especially during the breeding season, is very different. And that is that the males are on these territories that they are defending from other males in order to attract females for mating. The males have no pair bond, no involvement with raising young. That is all the females. So the females, because of the fact they spend so much time foraging for themselves and their young, you know, they have these bigger, stronger wings, whereas the males have wings that are more narrow and more suited to display and fast flight. That actually does make a lot of sense. And I will say that we notice, also, males are smaller than females. Juvenile males, in other words, hatchier males, it's not so noticeable, but they are smaller than hatchier females as well. But the adult males are smaller body size-wise significantly, and that probably allows them to be more aerodynamic as well because of the fact that they're smaller.
So you're saying that larger wings allow for better flight?
Yeah, exactly, Alex.
That's cool. Well, since they flap their wings so much, wouldn't they need a high metabolism to sustain?
They do. In fact, hummingbirds have the highest metabolic rate in any warm-blooded animal. They essentially need to consume their body weight in nectar daily to avoid starvation. Hummingbirds, however, cannot feed at night, so they turn their last meal of the day into fat to fuel their high metabolic demands at night. This process proves that overeating in the evening is a critical survival strategy for maintaining energy stores during energetically costly times.
Throughout the day, hummingbirds will collect fuel from high-energy floral nectar by allowing them to quickly metabolize the ingested sugar. When the food of the hummingbird is low, they will be able to switch from carbohydrates, which are the sugars, to lipids, which are the fats.
Hummingbirds also utilize a low-energy state called torpor, where their physiological activity and metabolism is conserved during times they can't feed. Susan Campbell gave us some interesting information about torpor.
And there aren't many birds that do this. There's some mammals that do this, but hummingbirds do this routinely. We think some of them that live at high altitudes and high latitudes, like rufous hummingbirds and calliope hummingbirds, probably do this almost every night of their lives in order to conserve energy by reducing their heart rate and their breathing rate. Ruby throats do it as well, probably more so in the wintertime than any other time. Probably during the summer months, they don't need to do this. So they have this behavioral adaptation that's pretty unique as well in order to save energy.
So most hummingbirds heavily rely on torpor during the night in order to save fuel for the day.
Guys, what exactly is the difference between torpor and sleep?
Well, torpor is a deep energy-saving mode where their body slows down certain processes like their heart rate, their breathing, and their temperature will even drop a significant amount. When humans sleep, our body is still active and controlled. Our body processes slow, but not an extreme amount, and our temperature stays relatively normal. You can think of humans sleeping as shutting your phone off, and torpor as powering your phone down.
You know, I was looking at some local bird data, and I found something crazy. There's actually over 11 different species of hummingbirds spotted here in our state.
That's a lot of variety. But what's really wild is that out of all of those different types, the ruby-throated hummingbird is the only one that actually breeds here. They usually start arriving right around March, just as the spring kicks off.
And they're definitely not in short supply. Across the entire U.S., there are about 15 to 20 different hummingbird species you can find. But get this, the ruby-throated population alone is estimated to be around 34 million.
Wait, 34 million? That's unbelievable. It really goes to show how incredibly diverse and numerous these tiny birds really are.
And they don't just stay in North Carolina. Large numbers migrate south for the winter, some species flying as far as 2,000 miles. What's so incredible about this is that the hummingbirds make these journeys completely alone. To accomplish this epic journey, most ruby-throated hummingbirds don't fly straight north and south. Instead, many move to the southwest in the fall and towards the northeast in the spring to detour around the Gulf of Mexico.
In weeks leading up to migration, these birds will enter a feeding frenzy known as hyperphagia. They will gorge on nectar and small insects to literally double their body weight and fat. This extra fuel is absolutely necessary for survival because while many take detours around the Gulf of Mexico, some especially bold individuals will actually fly across it directly.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I think it's time for us to go find a hummingbird. Thankfully, I know the trick to seeing them.
Wait, actually? What's the trick?
Well, to see a hummingbird, we need to set up a red-colored feeder with one part white sugar and four parts water. Plant some flowers nearby, and then we wait and watch.
Thank you all for coming.
See you next time. Bye!